You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Saturday, the by-election in Mount Albert took place, with Labour candidate Jacinda Ardern winning the seat for Labour, a seat the party has never lost. The election was by and large uneventful, with National not standing a candidate, while Labour and the Greens tested out their newfound MOU love, with attack politics and bickering absent. Gareth Morgan's Opportunity Party took the opportunity to stand a candidate, but the media attention did not translate into votes for Morgan's mob, with Top coming in third. Voter turnout was also lower than expected for a by-election of this nature, with the Mount Albert locals seemingly waiting for the main event in September to decide who they want to represent them for the next 3 years. To wrap up the by-election and gauge the political ramifications of it, I spoke to the victor Jacinda Ardern and political commentator Bryce Edwards. You must be very happy with the result in the end.
Yeah, although I have to say, I mean, it was an unusual by-election, and so it was always hard to really predict what might happen on polling day. But you know, ultimately, the end of that process, I get to be the MP for Mount Albert, which is fantastic, so I am really happy with that.
Were you always confident of winning?
I knew that probably my career would be over if I didn't, so I don't know if we call that confidence. Certainly there was an expectation there, and I knew it would probably be unusual if I didn't. Having said that, I've never been able to sit back and think anything would ever be fine in an election. So we certainly campaigned really hard and took nothing for granted.
What did you make of the campaign?
Yeah, well, we were quite focused on what we were doing, which was really a grassroots campaign. You know, we knocked on thousands of doors, called thousands of people, had 55 street corner meetings, and a lot of that was also about raising the profile in people's minds that there even was a by-election on. And, you know, right up until the very end, you know, people by then might have known it was on but weren't even sure which day. So, you know, general elections are a great way to make sure that the entire country knows that one day to get to the polls when it's just a pocket of people. And when it's slightly lower key because the National Party hasn't put up a candidate, it did make awareness raising a little bit harder.
Did the fact National didn't run a candidate make a difference, particularly in terms of policy debate?
Probably not so much in policy debate, but certainly it made a difference on turnout, no doubt, and the profile of the discussion. I mean, it's the candidates that were there, you know, we were debating the same things that would have been debated had National been there. Mm-hmm. There was no one there to justify government policy, of course. But, you know, I was disappointed that National didn't run because I think, you know, it would have been a platform for a conversation around really important things like housing and public transport. And it probably almost certainly would have boosted turnout.
What do you make of the low turnout? Is this concerning?
Yeah, I mean, by-elections are a bit of a different beast, and the turnout in those have tended to be in the 30s, and it looks like probably we'll just hit that mark, this 30, but, you know, Mount Roskill, where there was a good contest, got around 38, but that doesn't reflect turnout in the generals, you know, which gets mostly around the, you know, close to the 80 mark, and so turnout, I think we should always be worried about, though, and particularly in the general elections, we've had a downward trend in the past, and that has really been concentrated amongst young people in particular, and that worries me. You know, if young people don't engage in elections and therefore in democracy, decisions are being made that will affect them ultimately the most in the long term. And long term decision making is what we need. We need pay it forward politics. And if they don't engage, then that makes that much more difficult.
So what is first on the agenda for you in terms of policies or issues in this electorate?
Well, there are certainly, you know, the biggest issue that came up during the campaign was housing. 40% of Mount Albert rents. You know, I had one young man, you know, student loan he was paying off, working really hard, and he'd just got a notice saying his rent was going up by 20%. And add to that generally housing affordability. If we were doing anything that would make a difference to this area, that would be it. Mm. Now, I can advocate for that, but until my party is in government, we can't put in place the policies that we really need. So that's what makes September really important. In terms of things I can do without Labor being in government, there are, for instance, our schools are facing real infrastructure pressure, so I'm looking forward to working with them to see what we can do to get the Ministry of Education meeting their needs. That's something in the short term I'd like to work on.
So just finally then, what does this result mean for the Labor Party heading into the election?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had a couple of good results now here in Mount Roskill as well. You know, we're very much a grassroots campaigning party. What we don't have in money, we make up for in volunteers, and that actually is really how to run a really good local campaign. And so going forward, you know, it's about us making sure that we're ready for the general election to turn people out to vote, and by-elections have certainly helped us do that. So for us, it's about how we can turn everything we've done into party vote for Labor at the general.
That was the new MP for Mount Albert, Jacinda Ardern. Now, to gauge the political ramifications of the by-election, I also spoke to political commentator Bryce Edwards. So, Jacinda Ardern won the by-election. Was this a surprise, do you think?
No, I don't think anyone should have been surprised by Ardern winning. She was the clear favourite, and it's such a strong Labor seat that everything was going in her favour. People should have only ever been interested in the size of her victory, you know, predicting, you know, how much she was going to win by.
Was this by-election a bit of a waste of time, given the outcome and the fact that many parties decided not to run candidates?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of by-elections are a waste of time. Of course, you know, you can't just necessarily abandon them because of that. It's, you know, you have to have some sort of democratic process to decide when, you know, there's a departure of an MP. And but in this case, yes, I think it was always a foregone conclusion. I mean, you do have some good, you know, positive outcomes from having by-elections. It is a time for having, you know, some debate about policy and the direction of the country. But yes, this was always going to be the outcome, and I think that's part of the reason, at least, that National didn't stand. There was never anything in it for them, and they knew it was a foregone conclusion.
What does this result mean for Jacinda's standing in the Labor Party? There's been a lot of talk around her perhaps becoming deputy leader.
Yeah, and that is the main reason that this is such an important by-election and a result for her, because you know, she's a rising star, and she really is, you know, possibly the most popular MP in the Labor Party, and, you know, one of the most popular MPs in Parliament. And I think we will start seeing her rise in the preferred Prime Minister stakes in those opinion polls on TV 1 and 3. But, you know, she clearly is the future for Labor. She's a huge talent, and she represents something as well. And that's kind of a new approach for Labor, a kind of a new look. And that's why we can sort of expect that at some stage in the future she's going to be deputy and maybe even leader. I mean, I think she probably will be leader at some stage. So, you know, the big question is when. And the by-election gave her this big, you know, push. And it's allowed the Labor caucus, I think, to have a reason for making her deputy if they want to, because they can say, well, she's just proved herself. She's got this fantastic win. And now's the time to refresh before they go into the election campaign. Of course, it's yet to be seen whether that will happen, but there is logic there.
Now, the turnout for this by-election was very low. What do you make of this? What can you put this down to?
Yeah, it was a very low turnout, in fact. Depends on how you measure it. But if you're measuring, you know, and using every eligible member in the electorate as your point of calculation, it's about 23%. Turnout, which is very low in any election. Of course, by-elections have tended to get quite low in recent years, but this is surely an all-time low. And obviously, it's that uncompetitive, you know, nature of the by-election that meant that people weren't so inclined to participate, because they knew Ardern was going to win. And of course, National voters in particular had no great reason to participate, because there was no National candidate. And on top of that, it wasn't a particularly dynamic and interesting campaign. So there wasn't a lot of conflict or differences from those leading candidates.
What did you make of the Green Party's performance?
Oh, pretty lacklustre. And I know there's a lot of disappointed people in the Green Party, and I'm sure Julianne Genta will be disappointed that she only got 11% of that vote. And, you know, she would have expected more. I saw Simon Wilson, who's a very close Green Party watcher. He was, you know, thinking that she needed to get about 30% of the vote, and she might even get 40%. So obviously she got nowhere near that. And it does really have some implications for her, because she has been cited as a future Green Party co-leader, you know, when Materia Touré eventually does retire. and of course, you know, the list candidate selection process is on the way at the moment inside the Greens for the rankings coming into the next election. And I think this would have given pause for a lot of Green members to think twice about whether she is now the future of the Greens or not. And as a result, she may not be considered as a future leader anymore, and she may not get such a good list position as she previously was destined for.
Do you think the Greens should have ran a candidate in this by-election?
Yeah, I think they probably should have. It's good when political parties participate in these races. It's probably more a question of whether they, you know, carried out the by-election in the best way possible. Mm. Because certainly Julian Genta, you know, and Jacinda Ardern cooperated very closely. And maybe that was, you know, the most important thing for them, and I'm sure it was the direction that they were given from their leaders, that they needed to campaign very harmoniously, that they didn't want to see any kind of divisions or conflict, because, of course, for a lot of people, this by-election was seen as a model for how the Labour and Greens would campaign at the next election. And that was important to be seen that they worked well together. But that, of course, just meant that Julianne Genta wasn't able to delineate herself or differentiate herself from the Labour candidate. And I think that probably hurt her in the end. So it's probably the way they campaigned rather than campaigning itself that was the problem.
What did you make of the Opportunities Party?
Oh, a very disappointing result for them. They've put on a brave face and suggested, well, it was nearly 5% of the vote. I think it was 4.7%. And they said that 5% had been their target. They pretty much met that, they said. But I don't know. They need to make bigger waves than they did in this race. This was their first outing, and it was seen as a kind of litmus test for whether the Opportunities Party should really, you know, be a thing for the next election. They still haven't totally made up their mind about running at the next campaign, the general election campaign, and I don't think they'll be very happy with Jeff Simmons's performance. He didn't really spark.
So just finally then, what does this result overall mean for Labour heading into the election?
Oh, it means that much more focus is now put on Jacinda Ardern. She's proved herself. She's got a huge amount of publicity. She's now the future. It also shows for Labour that they can work well with the Greens, that the whole strategy of this memorandum of understanding is working for them, and they've had a chance to get their machinery out, their party machinery, their activists, volunteers, and it's given them kind of a warm-up practice, and they seem to be fighting fit. So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.